working with the kids and having the kids running up to you at break time and hearing your name across the school ground, and it just opens your heart every day. It's great. Yeah.
For the past year, Troy Butler's been supporting young people to not just grapple with climate change, but lead our efforts to deal with it.
My little group I've started here is the seed for the future, for this area. And those junior minds have got such vivid imaginations, and if you can just hold on to a couple of those beautiful thoughts and ideas they have, who knows what they're going to grow into and what change they're going to make.
Troy works at the Maryborough Education Centre, which is this massive three schools rolled into one.
A prep to 12 and special school, all on the one campus. So we have 1,030 students.
School principal, David Sutton.
And we were formed through a merger of all the state schools.
So Maryborough is in the central Goldfields Shire. This is at the southern part of the Loddon Mallee region, on Jajawarong country. And while the science tells us that climate change will affect the whole region, we know that the impacts won't affect all shires equally. It'll be felt more keenly in places like Maryborough.
Many people will be aware that it has socioeconomic challenges and in a number of studies ranks as the most disadvantaged local government area in Victoria.
Poverty puts pressure on everything and makes communities more vulnerable to direct impacts of climate like heat waves and extreme weather, and also flow-on effects to health and local economies. Good morning, Maryborough. Which is why long-sighted projects to help young people, like Troy's Sustainability Leadership Group, are so important.
So yeah, this is a new garden. This is another beautiful garden that was installed about 2.5 years ago by myself.
So you started here as a groundsman?
Yeah, I started here 4 years ago as a contractor doing the maintenance, and a job came up as the groundsman and sustainability officer the start of last year.
The kids say, what do you do here? You know, they just, you're just the gardener, you know. But when I started here, I said I wanted sustainability and groundsman written on my clothes, you know. So on my shirts, I just turn around and say, read it, guys. This is what I do. And I love it. I just love working with the kids and giving them the opportunities that I didn't have when I was their age.
Cody, so how did you become involved in the Sustainability Leadership Program?
I heard about it, that it was like to help make the school and everything a better place. So I thought that that would be good.
It was over an assembly, actually, over an assembly, and Troy was talking about it, and I thought, yeah, it's something I might want to do.
As soon as they actually said it was going to start, I was like, this is the thing for me. And I just love the environment, and I hate how climate change is happening and global warming.
And come straight here to Troy's office, and I seen him. Got a little form that I had to fill out.
This form for Troy, and we had to go through interviews and all that. And most people got in. I don't think there was anyone who didn't get in.
And then a couple of weeks later, he came up to me and said that I'm in as a senior school leader. And yeah, been in it ever since.
You know, where did it all start? What got the project going for you?
I needed help. Yeah, I'm not an octopus. I haven't got all the answers, you know, and we've got this great resource. So I
with the kids?
With the kids, yeah, with the students. So I approached the principal and asked if it would be a good idea, and he was really for the idea.
The right person came along at the right time, and Troy's shows through his role modelling how to lead a more sustainable life and create a more sustainable organisation. So he does that with the kids, but he's also keeps me and the teachers, you know, he supports us to learn as well.
Straight away, oh, we'll just have a little green army to pick up the rubbish. And I went, no, it's much more than that. And
for the last 12 months since the group's been going. That's all I've been getting. Oh, when are they going to be picking up rubbish? When are they going to be picking up rubbish? And it's like, mate, they're not going to be picking up rubbish. This is a leadership group. This is to make them think bigger than just picking up rubbish. It's how can we fix that problem?
I'm only 16, so no, there's a lot of things to go. And I mean, if we don't start changing things now, then things are going to get really sideways by the time I'm old enough and the next generation of kids come through.
Even though you're young, you can help fight global warming, even though the adults aren't.
I'm out in the yard, I'm fluorescent. If you've got a great idea, come and talk to me. And they do. They come up and talk to me. Oh, we want to do this. And so that's great. The process for this is to write a letter to the principal, and that will go through the council meetings, making them understand of the processes. You know, these kids don't know the processes for change.
Troy set up the Sustainability Leadership Group to give students who are interested in climate a chance to have a say in the school's policy on sustainability and also managing its eco footprint.
The whole reason behind this group is to make them understand that they can make change as a small group and a small community.
Troy's ambition for the group is to extend its influence out into Maryborough.
And that's where we're at the moment, is involving some of the students who want to be involved in bigger things than just the school, and having student representatives out into local sustainability groups, sporting groups, because Maryborough is very, very sports orientated, and that's where you'll make a massive impact.
But at heart, Troy set up the group to nurture and grow the kind of confidence and knowledge these young people will need in the face of a changing climate.
So our voices are heard and we're all on the same side and we're going in the same direction.
G'day Max, how are you? So with my sustainability group, maybe you can go up and just grab some pens and stuff up over here?
We're in the library today. We've got some activity books on climate change. So we've invited a year one and two class up.
Well, I know one thing about the climate change. If there's a red sky in the morning, that would mean that there's rain coming.
And like it might cause all the heat might like change the world and shapeshift it into like turn it into a cube or something because the climate change is turning so strong that if we don't stop it, the world might turn into something different.
Don't let the little kids have the scissors do the cutting.
Say, I don't
all right?
want to give those out.
So that first group, the first day, I went, oh no, what have I got myself into? Especially the younger kids.
If they're like your little kids, like preps or something, that would be very, very loud.
There was only 18, 19 of the students, but it was like having a group of 60. It really was. They were just so excited just to be out of class and running around and doing something new.
The thing that's hard about it is when they don't really listen or they do the opposite of what you tell them, like that, the table that was over there, they weren't very listening.
The first meeting really showed me that I had to make it fun.
Oh, well done, you already started. Up the back of the book,
okay,
and there's a little activity. You've got to cut out some dice and some stuff in there, so you might be able to do that one too.
As an example, we had a game last week, and it was called The Raft, and it was made out of all recycled blocks and all that sort of stuff, and just relating it back to what our purpose is.
We are basically creating a snakes and ladders war game, and from this point, everything is going not according to plan, and this is all out for revenue.
It's about overcoming the problems, isn't it? Not really having problems, but overcoming them.
And once the students saw what it was about, they started talking to their friends. Other students were coming over. What are you doing over here?
Because my friend's just like, hey, you should join. So I'm just like, okay, sure. It's really good.
So now we've got about 40 involved. We've got about 8 senior students and about 32 junior students. Because we've got such a big group and on one person for such a big group, that's where I come up with the mentor program and engage the senior students to be the juniors' mentors.
wait, this one's another one. Hopefully not another drought.
Then their crops can't grow, and they can't sell what they're growing. And, oh no, sorry, no, we have to write down who we think's been impacted. So who gets affected by each of these?
They're all seem to be getting into it, and it's nice and quiet, so that's kind of good. So we're the senior leadership group. It gives them the opportunity to actually run a small group and just on a really... A couple of my senior students joined the group just to get out of class. So it was really good to make them mentors and give them purpose. To be honest, that's why I started this group, to give those guys the opportunity, because they don't get the opportunity. Those type of people are usually pushed to the side, or they're so filled up with their own stuff they can't see the opportunity. And this environment is sometimes their safe space. So if it's where they feel safe is where we can make the most change.
I don't know, how do you do that with the kids? How do you empower them, I guess?
Treating them as equals and being vulnerable. I think that's been one of the biggest things I've come across in this school is, and work in this environment, is to be vulnerable and not to walk around with your chest out, knowing everything and being able to draw from these fantastic people. I didn't know any of this. I've had to have mentors in my life. As an adolescent, as a young teenager boy, I missed a lot of opportunities when it came to mentors. And I, you know, you look back and you go, oh, that guy was reached out to me, you know, and I could have gained a lot of from him. But when I was about 10, 11, I had a really good friend of the family. I used to call him Uncle Pete, and he was my mentor. And he showed me how to be vulnerable. Oh, I'm struggling with this, Troy. You know, I really like to get this achieved. And it was just, as a young boy, it was just like, oh, I've got something to do here now. After Uncle Pete died, I had an apprenticeship, and I had a really hard time with my boss. And I was abused in my job and all that sort of stuff. So it showed me two flip sides of the coin, and I could see what was benefit and what wasn't benefit. So then I was open to better mentors in my life and look at my weaknesses.
Does it make you feel a little bit cross with the adults handing on this world, which is so...
Well, they've had so long to actually help fix it, and yet they haven't done anything since round now. So yeah, it sort of makes me cross, but then I'm like, they didn't really know earlier on.
I don't really think so. Not really sure what sustainability means.
It's about like the nature and the habitat and like the life cycle of animals and things like that, and it's about like respecting it and how to recycle and things like that and what bin to put things in.
A lot of their mentors, their parents and stuff are distracted, more distracted these days with their mental health and separated families and relationship breakdowns and the pandemic and their struggles with work and with climate change, it's hard not to get pulled down into it. We can always look at things in a more positive light and move together as a community, you know.
And do you think you'll still keep on working for climate change?
Yes, I definitely will. It's my passion, I love it. And I just think that I need to keep doing this to actually feel like I'm doing something.
I'm a gardener for a reason. From seeds, big things grow.
This sound work was produced for Adapt Loddon Mallee, which also provided funding for the MEC Sustainability Leadership Program. You can find out more at adaptloddonmallee.com.au. In the program, you heard the voices of Troy Butler, David Sutton, Ella Crofts, Jacob Olver, Cody Robertson, Evelyn Axford, Ahern Ashbrook, Thomas Campanelli, Michaela Stork, Ruben Vanland, Zalary Bowler, and Ali Whittle. The program was recorded on Jajawarong country, whose land was never ceded. I'm Kyla Brettle, I do story and sound, and the show was co-produced with composer Rob Law, and executive production by Donna Caetana and Jeff Kane. A special thank you to the creative contributions of didgeridoo player Uncle Paul Chapman and photographer Carmen Bunting. You'll find more stories about climate change adaptation at adaptloddonmallee.com.au.